we're doing everything just to be able to see, sunglasses, sun visor, this, that, you know. But here's the eagle. And people of God, the Son has invited us to be seated with him in heavenly places. Ha! Above all principality, power. He's invited us to sit there with him. Praise God. And one of the problems when I was in the first grade that I can kind of remember, kids didn't want to stay in their seat. The teacher was always saying, get in your seat, get in your seat, get in your seat. And this morning I'm telling you, get in your seat, get in your seat. You're seated in heavenly places. When you're seated up there, you see things differently down here on earth. They look so small, insignificant, you can't see them, and they're under your feet. You know, you get a different perspective, a different picture of things. We talked about the strength of the eagle. We talked about the vision of the eagle. And we're not going to get a chance to discuss the swiftness of the eagle, how God is putting things in acceleration. I know things look a little tacky now, but God is going to accelerate some things. Praise God. Okay, I do want to, let me just finish this out, and then I want to go back to Hebrews, and, okay. So he was getting these people in the right view of God, the right perspective of God, who he is. Church, let's get the right perspective of him. And what he wants to do. Okay, after he gave him the right perspective of him, he said in the 30 verse, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I said that it's a lot of writing. I mean, a lot of the writers in the New Testament took a lot of things from Isaiah. Out of the book of Isaiah. Even Jesus said, hey, I'm anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And it's repeated. A lot of things are repeated in the New Testament. And we see this in Hebrew 12th chapter, 1 through the third verse. It says, wherefore sin we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The witnesses he's talking about is in the 11th chapter. The ones that didn't get a chance to really see the promise at the time that they were talking about it. But they embraced it like it was so true. They did their things by faith. And he said, wherefore sin we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us. He's including himself too. Yep. Lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now the reason Isaiah said race, run, because we are in a race. And that's the reason he used run. And that's the reason the book of Hebrew picked it up. The writer of Hebrew said, run, because you are in a race. He said the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but the one that have the endurance. But he said, you know, he said, let's do what this is what the eagle do. When he gets kind of weighted down, he beat his. Let me back out of that. I don't have time to go in there. I want to finish this. It's 5 after 10. Jesus. Okay. He just beat off all the dead stuff. I'm just going to say that. I'm not going to go off into it. And Paul saying, in order for us to run this race, we got to lay aside. This is something you got to do. lay aside every weight and the sin. Some things are weight that's not even sin. You know, they're just weight. They'll just kind of hold you back from accomplishing or running a race that has been set before you. Everything has been cleared in the race that is set. You had a forerunner, and the forerunner was Jesus. Amen. And so he said, this race has been set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Seemed like this is a faith race that has been set. And he said, put your focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He has already gone ahead of us. He cleared out everything that would trip, rip, and not let you get run a good race. Paul said, I ran a good one. And I finished my course. I know I finished my course. That's what Paul said. And he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. We're talking about you got to have endurance. It's not given to one that's running so fast or running so slow, but the endurance. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But consider him, he said, consider him. He was the forerunner. You got to consider your forerunner, the one that has already gone ahead of you. He took his eyes, took our eyes off of the, see, at first he put our eyes on all those old patriarchs. In the 11th chapter of Hebrew, he had our eyes on him. Look at this one, and look at that one, and look, even look at the one that got sown asunder, you know, that didn't. He put our eyes on them. Then the 12th chapter, he put us, if we're going to run a race, like a good race, he said, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's good to study about Abraham. It's good to study about Moses. It's good to, because these people endured, they conquered, they. But he said, if you're going to really run a good race, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, how he endured. Consider the third verse. Consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against him, lest he be weary and faint in your minds. Now, the fainting that Isaiah was talking about, that we just studied in Isaiah 40, he was talking about that goes on in your mind. He said, if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to faint in your mind and you're going to be weary and you're not going to be able to run. You're not going to be able to. You got to consider him. How, you know, when you come up against things, well, Jesus, consider him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your focus. I am way out of time. I'm not going to be able to. But take that, what I gave you concerning the eagles, and be eagle Christians. Yeah. Mount up. Mount up, but you can't mount up without him. God bless you. While he's coming to y'all here, did y'all finish the books? Mm-hmm. Did y'all enjoy them?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a blessing. In him we can mount up.
And amen.
What we can do in him is, you know, I still enjoy exploring what we can do in him.
Amen.
As you follow God, as you follow his guidance, you will grow from glory to glory. He will guide you. He will be right there with you. A lot of times you're going to wonder, why did he take this route? But if you stick with it in faith, you're going to find out why. And
we're going to make up on your time.
That's fine. We're going to make up on your time. Good. Hey, all that was Holy Ghost.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I could feel it going in there a little deeper. I'm like, okay. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, one day I'm gonna get loose here. I ain't gonna give time, cause God don't really live in time. He can give time to man as a gift. Time to you is a gift.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to use it well. You know.
Yeah, if you ever wonder what our race is, our race is not against each other.
Amen.
It's against time. Yeah. That's how we're running. We're trying to receive and relay as much of God's glory and word to others against the
Amen.
Factor of time.
That's good.
And he gave us the, you know, if we just obey him, and just do what he said. Look at him. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
How he finished his race.
Yeah, that's how we do it. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're looking at him, like we said earlier, Peter had water walking faith as long as he was looking at Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we get our visual from the word.
Amen. And not only that, it's a mirror. It'll change you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be changed. I mean, so you can look in that mirror, you can change. You can change. You don't have to stay the same.
Uh-huh.
The enemy can't beat you down and tell you that, you know, you can't do, you can't accomplish. Mm-hmm. You get in that word, which is a mirror.
Yeah.
It'll show you who you are.
Yeah.
And every time it shows you, you're changing.
Yeah.
Every time y'all come to this class, I want y'all to walk in and say, I'm changing.
That's right.
Changing. That's the purpose of this class.
Mm-hmm.
To change.
Yeah. And you'll see yourself doing things Jesus did. You'll see yourself laughing at things you used to be upset about or cry over. And you say, how in the world did he do that? You know it's him. And I'm not as that. That's just the way it is.
We didn't alter from the greater glory, okay? We're still talking about the great glory, but we're talking about things that we have to do to protrude us into the great. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
This one thing, okay, the Holy Ghost checked me. Can I say this?
Mm-hmm.
One thing when we read the scripture, wait on the Lord. I mean, they that wait on the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that's ministering to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not just waiting like, you know, so I'm waiting for God to move. I'm waiting for God to do something.
Yeah.
No, you're ministering to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those that wait on the Lord, they're ministering to him.
Yeah, serving him. We made it to the glory, the spirit of glory. What I do, this is important. This is real. I'm gonna share something.
You have to revisit next week. You know, you're gonna.
I'm just gonna share something that happened.
You may have to revisit that.
Yeah, I'll revisit that. But I'm gonna share something that happened.
Okay.
Now I talked to y'all about Greg Holzer. He was my age, you know. And he used to go home and pray every day for hours. And then he'd lead the church in worship. Well, Refuge Temple was a church that worshiped God. It was like you just lived in God's glory that in the praise and worship. So sometimes we get to church early and they had a beautiful prayer. It used to be an old Presbyterian church, and it had a huge prayer room. That's what we used it for. It had beautiful red carpet, and then we'd go in there and pray. And I would come to church early, or sometime they wouldn't have a church. I'd just go in there and pray, just to pray. And I wanted to know how to live in God's presence, just like I did in that prayer room, and just like when we go and worship at church on Sunday service. So I said, Lord, you know, I told about that. How I said, Lord, I want you to teach me how to live in your presence, because I can sense it. Now, we're always with him. He's always with us. But he can reveal his presence and conceal his presence. And I wanted to be, I felt powerful as long as I was in his presence. I felt like I could do anything and believe anything. But when his presence was gone, I'm back to me. So I learned something. I kept that prayer before him, and I never let it go. And the Lord gave me an assignment to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, 5 at night. After about 3 months, I went in the Lord's presence, and we had a dialogue conversation. But before this happened,
I'm playing basketball.
Before this happened, Kenneth Copeland said, sometimes when you go in the Lord's presence, you want to ask him all these questions, but you can't do it because you collapse. And I remember that. And so after studying like I did, I got in his presence. And I said, Jesus, don't go nowhere. Stay right here. Don't go. I didn't want him to retract his presence. I wanted him to stay, and I had my questions that I wanted to ask him. So when that happened, he started answering me. Before I studied the word, I couldn't do that. I intended to many times. But when I get in this prayer, I forget all my questions. I couldn't compose myself. I'd fall out. I just wasn't no good.
That's a good way to
think about it. So I didn't learn. I mean, I'm in the presence, but I couldn't ask him questions like I wanted to. The word of God gives you stamina.
Yes.
And strength. Remember when Daniel was strengthened? The angel that looked like a man picked him up and he said, I'm strengthened. He wasn't no good either. He kept falling out. That's how Christians are. That's how people are. But when the angel picked him up, he was strengthened. Ezekiel, he said, eat this roll. And then he had stamina. And John, you know, when God gave him revelation, he said, eat this roll. He gave him so much revelation at once it would have been overwhelming. He said, it'll be good to your taste and bitter in your stomach. Because he had the revelation was that roll that he had to eat. And it's bitter. It's a lot of things. That's what's going to happen to the wicked. Beside that, the word of God gives you stamina and strength so that when you're in his presence, you can stand, you can receive from him. And I didn't know this. Nobody taught me that. I experienced it, and then I realized it. Sometimes in his presence, you can realize things you can't. But people may not have the knowledge to say. And that's all right. You know, we are like pioneers. We're on a quest to learn things. That it's all right to not know things. It's all right to miss it sometimes. In the earlier broadcast, I talked about how I miss God and how he helped me understand what happened. I had good intentions, faithful intentions, but I still missed him. So I said, Lord, how did I do it? How did I deviate? What happened? And then he helped me receive correction. So even if you fail, the game's not over. The race is not over just over one failure. It's all right. God got you. He knew you. He know our strengths and weaknesses, and he will help us continue. So in the glory of God, you can make all the adjustments you got to make. But a healthy reception of God's word helps you receive him more and more. And you grow from glory to glory. And next week, we'll look at what Sister Pickett wrote.
It's good. Don't worry. Don't y'all think I stole a lot of his time today.
No, it's not.
Next week, you're going to have it. You're going to have all the time.
Yeah, this is a glorious book. I thank God for people like this. That she just go into, she went in this presence and she learned some things that's just off the chain. There are things in this book I've never heard anybody else teach before. And I've heard a lot of good, wonderful preachers. And I tell you, you can't get all this information out. But God will give it to hungry audiences. So sometimes the hungry audiences, they'll read a book like this, you know.
And we're going to revisit that book, too, probably again. When I was looking for something to put in y'all hand, I looked.
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
When I got there.
Holy Spirit.
Well, who's it by?
Fuchsia Pickett.
Mm-hmm. I think Billy Graham's got that book on her website.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, I think she does.
Get the one that say volume 1 and 2. Uh-huh.
Fuchsia Pickett.
She's got a lot of the old preachers and all, you know, stuff on her website.
That don't surprise me. She's a wonderful woman of God. You know, I'm going to close with this. The Lord monitors how we treat holy things, how we receive it.
Ooh.
He monitors it.
Yes,
and
he
when
does.
when you're attracted to holy things, it gets his attention. And you might find he might wake you up in the middle of the night and start talking. That's because he sees something in you. Follow him, flow with him. When he pull you aside and show you something. He sees something in you, and you can do something that he know you can do. But you have to look at him to finish it. That's all. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. And I love your holy things, Lord. I love everything about you. Help me do all that's in your heart. And always yield to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.